Golf Smarter Premium number 574, published on January 10, 2017. Grip, alignment, stance, and posture, or GASP. You know, they work for both golf and business with Jack Sims.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've only spoken for a few minutes before we started recording, and I just want to say, I want to be you.
Well, thank you. That works well for now, but, you know, let me tell you, it's quite funny. When you get you're talking to friends in the middle of winter, and you say, you know, oh, I've got a rotten cold, I sound lousy, you know, feel terrible, and the people at the other end of the phone usually say something to the effect of, yeah, right, when they find out where I'm living.
So. Right, exactly. So as we speak here on Skype, you are on the island of Turks and Caicos, and you live there as well as travel all over the world doing speaking engagements and teach golf, and you write and start companies. And if the audience listens closely, I'm convinced I've already heard waves crashing up against your feet while we speak. You're telling me not true, but don't tell me that.
You're not far wrong. It's about 35 feet away, but it's pretty close.
Blah, blah, blah.
Someone's got to do it. You know?
Do they really? Does somebody really have to do it?
Yes, I do. I do. I got to do it.
Well, that's why I started by saying I wanted to be you.
There you go.
When I grow up. But that could be a problem. Okay. I think it's the growing up part of this is the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell you, it's a funny thing you should say that. And we're not really talking golf, but I have a thing in my wallet that I put in there, and it's been in there for 30 years. And it says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Right.
I live by that.
Yeah. I've heard that. And, okay, I'm not going to tell the line. I can't tell it during the show that I carry with me most of my life. But oh, okay, so I'll paraphrase it. Life is fair. Everybody gets screwed. That's not the word I would generally use at that point, but you get my point.
I get you.
So let's where do we begin with this? Because there's so many interesting things to talk about here. You are a golf instructor, but you're well, let's ask it this way. Are you primarily a golf instructor? Or are you primarily a businessman?
Well, these days, it's kind of about half and half, to be honest with you. I teach. I'm the pro at a club in New York called Storm King Golf Club in New York. And I also teach at a driving range up there in the summertime. And I just really enjoy the teaching part. That's my focus. But then in the wintertime, you know, I spend most of my time speaking and writing and stuff like that.
And you've started a couple of companies that have become successful?
I have. I started a company in the UK initially. My first company, I started with a buddy of mine, and we decided we were so young, didn't know any better, and both thought we were 10 feet tall or bulletproof, you know. And we started this company in the UK with no clients, virtually no money. And that company did quite well. It became consistently one of the top five ranked creative groups in the UK, and gave me the platform to springboard to come to the US, which I did in 1976.
It's interesting. You slipped something in there. How important is it for somebody starting a company to feel like they're 10 feet tall and bulletproof? I mean, how important is ignorance going into something that other people with experience would go, what are you doing?
I think it's huge. Because I think sometimes we can get, like in golf, we get paralysis by analysis. And you get the passion, the enthusiasm, the excitement, that will beat anything else you're doing out there. Absolutely will. You know, you can have the information, but if you haven't got that drive and the passion to make all that come to fruition, it's just not going to happen. So I think, to me, it's essential.
Yeah, because I started something in my early 30s that even now I look back at it and going, what was I thinking? But I had success with it, and it took me through a couple of decades of work and put my kids through college, basically. But it was something that if I really had more business savvy, more business acumen at the time, would probably have not pursued it. But it was the feeling of course I can do this, get out of my way, that made it work.
Well, it is, and there's also, it's what you don't know is good, because you just don't know how tough it's going to be.
Right.
You don't know how difficult it's going to be. And, you know, most companies and most startups never, ever start with enough money. The biggest lesson you can ever get when you're in a business and starting out is, you know, is the cash flow lesson. And I found out that the hard way. You know, if I can tell you the story if we got time, but I got a call from the bank one day and said, "Hey, Jack, you know, I got news for you, buddy. You know, we're banking with you right now, and that isn't kind of the business we're in, so you better change that." You know, and I did, and I got into that situation through none of my own doing, but which was a corporation all of a sudden that had, it was a major, major client. Another big problem I made for myself, that I allowed the client to get too big with us. And they were dominating our business, and they were paying us 30 days net. And all of a sudden, they got bought out by somebody, and a major corporation. And their accounting people said, "Hey, well, no, you don't pay 30 days anymore. You pay 120 now." And so you can imagine what that did to me.
And I hate when big companies look at the little companies and go, "We don't have to pay these guys. They're not that important."
Yeah. So, I mean, they really crushed me. I mean,
yeah, happened to me as well.
Well, you know, you understand, and it hurt some of our competitors. And I have to tell you, it got so difficult. I pulled all my employees in at one point in time. I said, "Listen, guys, we're in serious trouble. I'm prepared to go without salary and all that sort of stuff, and because I, you know, we want to make it work. I'm not going to ask any of you to do this, but if you, you know, we got to get through it. So we're going to have to make some compromises here." And everybody backed me. They just wanted to work at the company. They loved the place. And we got out of the hole. We dug ourselves out of the hole. And I'm forever grateful to our employees for helping us do that. They were amazing people. Absolutely incredible.
Fabulous story. But let's relate it back to golf for a moment. As a successful businessman, what are the elements that are important in a round of golf or in a golfer? To bring that work between golf and business, because everyone always talks about, you know, doing business on the golf course, but also how golf represents so many things in life that are translatable. And how do you see that?
Well, you're right. And people do a lot of business on the golf. I never did. To be honest with you, I didn't even play golf when I was in business. And because I was just too busy working on the business. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time, and I should have done it, but I didn't. But there are so many things. You're absolutely right. I mean, but it starts with anything. If you ask Jack Nicklaus says, even more than I do, he says 90% of a golf swing is in the fundamentals. And I think it's at least certainly 80%. And I usually go with 80 because the 80-20 rule in most things in life, the Pareto principle, really works. And it does in golf too, as well as it does in business. You know, so if you, the fundamentals for me are, you know, remember the old GASP concept, grip, alignment, stance, and posture. If you can get the grip, alignment, stance, and posture right, you're well on your way to a really good golf swing. And, you know, it's when people don't get those fundamentals right. And it's the same in business. You know, you got to, you can use it, you can use the same analysis, you know, or analogy of GASP to do that. You know, get a grip on your clients, get who your customers are, that kind of thing. Are you aligned with the right people? You know, that kind of, you know, sales, you got to talk about sales, man. If everybody sells something, and they got to understand they're in the sales business, you know. And your positioning is crucial in the world of business. And, you know, the same thing, grip, alignment, stance, and posture, it's the same stuff.
I'm kind of taken aback right now of the hundreds of interviews that I've done for the Golf Smarter podcast. I don't think I've ever heard anybody refer to GASP.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard PGA, position, grip, alignment.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot, but I've never heard grip, alignment, stance, and posture. That's good.
Yeah, GASP. And as you say, that I use it all the time. And it's identical in business, the same analogy you can use, you know. And it's worked, certainly worked for me. And it certainly works for my, I use it with my students all the time.
Fabulous. You know, one of the people that we've featured on the Golf Smarter podcast is a woman named Jennifer Monroe. She talked about golf and business. And she taught me a really valuable lesson that I've carried when I'm on the golf course. As a matter of fact, even this afternoon, I'm going to be going out and playing. We have a local business networking group that is for a minimal amount of money for golf out here. You get 9 holes of golf. The teaching pro comes out on the course and watches you for a couple holes, watches each player and, you know, gives them a couple pieces of advice. And then a cocktail afterwards, and we have a networking event. That's why we only play 9 holes, so that we can have a networking event afterwards. And it's great. And I highly advise anybody to, during summer months, especially because we tee off at 3 o'clock and we get, you know, we take a little long to play the 9 holes, but that's okay. We're chatting and we have the pro coming out with us. And it's really valuable. But one of the things I was trying to bring up with Jennifer is the fact that I never do golf. I never do business on the golf course. I learn whether I want to do business with the person when I'm on the golf course by watching them play. And then if we're going to talk about business, we'll do it in the clubhouse afterwards.
Well, that's a smart move. I've read a few books on business golf. A friend of mine, Mike Smith, wrote one about business and golf. And I've found that, you know, the golf is a place that the game of golf, if you're playing with clients, as far as I'm concerned, you just got to be a lot of fun and just enjoy it and don't expect to get anything out of it at all. And if it can't, business comes from it, that's terrific. But just enjoy the day. And that's the way it's worked for me, certainly in the past. There's very little I've ever played with clients.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a tough time separating the two, that when they get out on the golf course, because maybe life gets in the way and you don't get to go on the golf course as much as you'd like, that when you're out there, you're serious about your golf and everything else be damned. You know, everything else falls on the wayside.
Well, I think you have to, you know, start stepping back a little bit and understand that there are no ugly golf courses.
That's so true.
You know, we're out there in the fresh air with nice people, nice time. Most people who play golf are pretty nice. You always get the jerk in every club, wherever. But by and large, most people who play golf, I've found, are really nice people. They just want to go and have a good time. Yeah. You know? And usually when you're playing golf, you can't think about much else if you want to play a good game anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me a little bit about how to seriously win at business and golf.
It's a book that I wrote that is based on the concept of the great leaders in business have a certain way of doing things. There's an attitude. There's a knowledge base. There's a passion, a drive, a will to win that most business leaders have to have. And if I just substitute business leader for golfers, it's exactly the same. You know, you can say the same stuff. And having been one of those people who have been in both worlds, as a professional golf teacher and as a professional businessman, if you like, I've been privileged to, you know, experience both worlds. So I was able to put this concept down and create it into a book.
So, oh, that would be great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so let's see. We've done Jack Sims Golf, jacksimsbusinessgolf.com, and jacksims.com.
Yes, a lot of Jack Sims in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jack Sims going on.
Well, it's, you know, my father always used to say, there's no point in getting older if you can't get a little bit smarter or a little bit craftier. And I think the youngsters have taught me, you know, this whole social networking thing is just blows my mind. And, you know, you've got to be in it to win it, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's changed the way you do business. Everybody's changed the way they do business now because of it.
The fact that I can sit here in the Turks and Caicos Islands, do this interview, and still be in contact and do all the things I need to do. I'm dealing with a programmer in Armenia, a copywriter in England, a videographer in New York. I mean, it's quite amazing how you can put these things together. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal. All right, give us a tip, and then we'll wrap this thing up. I love the golf tips.
Okay, well, far as I'm concerned, here's one of the best things. If you analyze a golf, round of golf that you play, you're going to find out the biggest percentage of shots you take are with that one little short club, the putter. And we don't spend enough time putting. So here's the drill. I'll give you two drills. The first drill is I like to see people play their putter. And I won't tell you how to stand, how to grip it. You do whatever you want. But I do like to see you slightly inside the line where if you put a drop a ball from your eye to the ground and you're going to see where it falls, I want you to play slightly inside like that line, A. B, I like to see people play the ball slightly towards the forward foot. And the reason I do that is I like to have the putting stroke hit the ball slightly on the upswing. I've found over the years that this creates slight topspin to the ball. It stops the ball jumping in the air and enables you to get the ball on the ground quicker and hold the line longer. Okay? That's the first tip. The second tip is Bobby Locke. I mean, I've heard of Bobby Locke, the great South African golfer, many years ago. Probably was one of the greatest putters ever. Most people have never heard of him, but he's a great, great putter. And he putted with a shorter backswing and longer follow through. And I believe that's the best putting stroke you can have. Most people decelerate through the putting stroke. And I like to see it promoted so you can get a longer putting stroke. So the way to do that is put a couple of tees in the ground, let's say 2 feet apart. And if you imagine putting your club down two-thirds of the way back and then bring the club back to the back tee and then hit forward to the front tee. And that kind of gives you that feeling, one-third backswing, two-thirds forward swing in your stroke. And that will help you. That coupled with putting the ball slightly forward in your stance to get more topspin, and it will hold the line and you'll accelerate through the ball.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
So again, the websites are, and I will put the links in the blog and in your show notes. So if you don't have a chance to write these down or memorize them, please check your show notes or come to golfsmarter.com and look it up. And we'll have those all linked right to his site. So again, jacksimsbusinessgolf.com, jacksimsgolf.com, jacksims.com, and give Jack's dad a call and say, your son is doing just fine.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Thank you very much for coming on to the Golf Smarter podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I mean, I really, really, this has been a lot of fun. And I really appreciate it. And, anytime I can help, please feel free to call.